Okay, so my talk is entitled Pregnancy Wantonness Among Young Pregnant Couples. And I want to acknowledge Anna Arnold, the project coordinator of the study partners. It's in the audience, and so is Dr. Trace Kershaw, the PI of the study. And I have no relationships to disclose. And I just want to start with a series of quotes. We've heard a lot of quotes, but I wanted to bring these three in that I thought we would just start with this idea of what pregnancy wantonness is. So one expectant father says, "This is a wonderful experience for me and my girlfriend, for when they found out they were pregnant. It will bring us a lot closer together. I'm not nervous. I just feel really ready. I think it'll make my life a lot better." An expectant mother said, "My life wouldn't change a lot with the new addition. The only change would be that I have to care and love for this bundle of joy for the rest of my life. I'm happy and very glad it's happening to me. I can't receive a better gift and surprise than this one." And finally, a second expected father said, "I have been real excited and can't wait to be a father. Becoming a father has changed me a lot and made me look at life more different. It's not all about me anymore." So as you can see from these quotes, there's a lot of positivity associated with finding out that they're pregnant. And this was pretty typical. This was pretty standard. There was very little negative responses to finding out, as you'll see. So pregnancy wantonness, I just wanted to give a brief background before we dive into the study. I literally conceptualize this as wanting to become pregnant. So it's different from planning to become pregnant or trying to become pregnant. Briefly, the literature has shown among adolescent females that pregnancy wantonness is predictive of inconsistent contraceptive use and pregnancy. There's been a few prospective studies that have looked at this. And also perceived partner wantonness has also been predictive of pregnancy among adolescent females. And this, in that particular study, it actually showed above and beyond actual or participant wantonness. But there's little known about pregnancy wantonness among young males and young couples. So that leads to my study. So specifically, I'm aiming to describe pregnancy wantonness among adolescent females and their male partners who are expecting a baby, and to understand pregnancy wantonness further by examining predictors and consequences. So to get a more comprehensive and full understanding of what this construct might look like. So the study design, we used 252 couples interviewed during pregnancy. So this was part of a larger, this was the baseline interview, part of a larger prospective study called Partners, which is for Parenting and Relationship Transition and Risk Study. We recruited couples from four OBGYN clinics that served predominantly low-income patient populations. So the sample criteria was they had to be pregnant females between 14 and 21 years of age who are currently in a romantic relationship with the father of the baby. The father of the baby had to be 14 years or older, and both had to be, both partners were not known to be HIV positive. Okay, so we used a CASI automated computerized self-interview. Separate baseline interviews were completed during the third trimester by both partners, so they were done separately. And measures included things such as health outcomes, behavior, and psychosocial characteristics. Okay, so the variables I used to conceptualize wantonness was this first one, pregnancy wantonness. In this current pregnancy, did you want to get pregnant or did you want her to get pregnant, right? Because it was asked of the men and of the women separately. This was a 5-point Likert scale ranging from definitely no to definitely yes. And then we asked perceived partner wantonness. In this current pregnancy, did your partner want to get pregnant or did she want to get pregnant, right? Asked of the males. So again, 5-point Likert scale ranging from 0 to 4, definitely no to definitely yes. So to examine potential predictors of wantonness, we use Bronfenbrenner's ecological systems theory to guide our selection of potential predictors. So we use such things from the individual, the dyad level, family, and more of a peer community level. Individual characteristics were, these were reasonably thought to be have a potential relationship. So there's not a whole lot of literature on what is related to wantonness. So this is more an exploratory analysis, so we kind of came up with these on our own. So we used individual, age, education, employment, income, race, ethnicity, kind of your standard individual characteristics. Parity, prior risk behaviors, those were asked of women in the months prior to becoming pregnant. Diet characteristics, partner's age, relationship length, and perceived partner wantedness, as I mentioned before. Among the family domain, it was parental response. This was a Likert response from 1 to 7, from very upset to very happy, how your parents responded when they found out, when you told them you were pregnant. Whether or not your parents had a teen birth, whether they were teen parents themselves, whether your sibling, you had a sibling that had a teen birth, and a family functioning scale, which talked about conflict and communication, that type of thing. And peer community was more, have you had a friend that had given birth as a teen, neighborhood problems, describing the, you know, the risk or comfort in your neighborhood, and a crime index. Okay, so the sample, again, like I said, there are 252 couples. They ranged from, females were younger than males, it was statistically significant. The difference, they were around 18 to 19, males were generally older, around 21. About 40% were black, 40% Hispanic, and around 10 to 15% white, and a small percentage other. The other category was made up of Asian, Alaskan, and other, so it was kind of a mixed bag. And for the majority of participants, around 3/4 for both males and females, it was their first child. Okay, so pregnancy wantedness. So when asked the females about their own wantedness for this pregnancy, the females responded, around 50% responded either definitely yes or kind of yes. And around 20% said they were unsure, and close to about a third said definitely no or kind of no. Among males, there was a higher percentage who actually reported wanting the pregnancy. So that was around 55% said definitely yes or kind of yes, I wanted this pregnancy. Unsure category was a little bit bigger, and no, it was obviously fewer in terms of percentage-wise. In terms of perceived partner wantedness, there weren't much differences between the male and female, but female reported both were over 50%. Over 50% thought their partners wanted this pregnancy in some degree. Okay, so then I wanted to look at predictors of wantedness among females and males. This is our standard logistic regression model. The outcome is pregnancy wantedness, and I conceptualize this as any yes, so it was definitely yes, kind of yes, or the unsure category. There's some literature that suggests that this unsureness or maybe or ambivalence is similar to wantingness, wanting the pregnancy in terms of characteristics and behavior. So we put those together as a group, and then this became a dichotomous variable. And as you can see, if higher years education predicted a lower odds of wanting pregnancy among women, Hispanics were about 2.5 times more likely than non-Hispanic blacks to want pregnancy among females. Non-Hispanic whites about 3.5 times more likely than non-Hispanic blacks. And the other category was less likely to want pregnancy. Certainly condom use, as we would expect, predicted lower odds of wanting pregnancy among females. But the big variable here is this one, this perceived partner wanted the pregnancy. So you can see among females, it's about 18 times greater odds of wanting pregnancy if you perceived that your partner wanted it among the females. And among males, it was actually the only predictor that emerged statistically significant. And that was around 9 times greater odds among those who thought their partner wanted the pregnancy, that they would actually want the pregnancy as well. And lastly, this parental response, like I had mentioned before, that 1 to 7 scale, very upset to very happy, that emerged as important in this female model. And I just want to point out the R squared at the bottom. We're explaining in this female model, we're explaining a decent amount of the variance, about 35% of the variance. Among males, it's 15%, but that's just one variable. And so it just kind of reflects on the strength and the importance of this perceived wantedness, partner wantedness. Okay, so now we know this partner wantedness, perceptions of wantedness, is highly important. So how accurate were these? So we looked at some data, did a couple cross tabs, couples tables, and among women, Of women who perceived the partner wanted the pregnancy, 75% actually wanted it. So 75% were correct, but 25% were incorrect. Of women who perceived that their partner did not want the pregnancy, about 50% wanted it, 50% did not. So about 50% were incorrect of this category. Among the men, of men who perceived their partner wanted the pregnancy, 65% actually wanted it, 35% did not. And among men who perceived their partner did not want the pregnancy, 40% wanted it, 60% did not. So in this slide, we can see that women's perception of their partner wanting the pregnancy was a little more accurate. It's the 75 versus 65. But the men's perception of the partner, their female partner, not wanting the pregnancy was a little more accurate, the 60 versus 50%. Okay, so now I wanted to look at this in terms of couples. And I thought this was interesting. So I put together whether the female wanted it and the male wanted it. And around 60%, around 60% of the couples both reported wanting this pregnancy. In about 11%, neither reported wanting the pregnancy. And what's interesting here, I think, is in 20%, the male were the only ones who reported wanting the pregnancy. And in about 10%, the female only reported wanting the pregnancy. Okay, so we talked about predictors of wantedness, looked at concordance, and I just wanted to briefly touch upon some consequences of wantedness. This, again, was measured in the third trimester, so I was looking at some psychological variables that went along with this wantedness and how that might influence some of these more psychosocial concepts. So in this particular slide, you see relationship satisfaction. So we can see that there's a statistically significant difference in the female-only couples, so that the female only has a much higher, statistically significant higher relationship satisfaction than the males. The male only, the male trends to have higher satisfaction. We believe that it's a little underpowered because these groups ended up being small. And you can see in the both, that's why I believe it didn't emerge statistically significant among the males. And among, when they both wanted the pregnancy, they were both highly satisfied, as we would expect. And this life satisfaction follows a similar trend. So again, among the female-only group, they reported much higher life satisfaction, overall life satisfaction, than their male partner. And we see a similar trend among the male-onlys. I also looked at depression and stress, and it follows a similar pattern, but reversed, right? So higher depression among females in the male-only group and higher depression among males in the female-only group. But I just wanted to show a couple of these examples and really emphasize, you know, looking at this, what this wantedness might mean for the couple and their psychological health. So my conclusions are that the prevalence of pregnancy wantedness among these young couples is high. And I think a lot of the literature assumes that they're all unintended. You're adolescent, it must be unintended. And this data is really showing that it's not. And this, I'll get to this later, but this is a sample of couples who chose to carry the baby to term. So it may not be generalizable to a more general adolescent population. But these couples, you know, there's over 435,000 births to young women, 15 to 19, in this country every year. So this reflects a large, you know, a great number of these pregnancies and these women. So secondly, this perceived partner wantedness is the most strongly related to actual wantedness. This was the variable that emerged most highly important in the models. And perceived partner wantedness, however, is not always indicative of true wantedness. We saw, for example, around 75% of women who thought their partner wanted it, 75% were correct, right? So in only 75% of cases did their partner actually want the baby. And among men, it was around, they were correct in perceiving wantedness around 65% of the time. And wantedness is related to relationships and life satisfaction, and then may therefore influence parenting. So you could imagine that this psychological health would reflect upon their relationship and then move into parenting and affect potentially child development, et cetera. Okay, so just, I mentioned a couple of these, but wanted to point out a couple strengths and weaknesses. One, it was a novel dyadic approach for exploring pregnancy wantonness among young couples. It uses multi-level covariates that we hypothesized from Bronfman and Brenner's ecological model. But the limitations was this wantonness was reported retrospectively. So there may have been some social desirability bias associated with their response, and they may have modified their desires or their recollection to meet their current circumstances. On the other hand, their perceived partner wantonness, you could argue, could have been more accurate than it would have otherwise been, right? Because they had already disclosed their pregnancy and gotten their partner's response. So they, I argue that it may have increased the accuracy of perceived partner wantonness. And also, as I mentioned before, the sample is generalizable to couples who choose to carry these pregnancies to term. So future direction. So first, I wanted to talk about identifying effective strategies for reducing pregnancy wantonness. So we know pregnancy wantonness is high. And I wanted to just mention a couple strategies. And certainly I would encourage you to think of more. but first, to educate adolescents about the risks and challenges of adolescent parenthood. I haven't done research specific to this, but that might be part of why they... why it's attractive to them. I've also done some work in expectations and future orientation, and I think that that's all part of it, which relates to this improving opportunities. So if youth that have a goal of something or opportunities to pursue some endeavor, I believe that could reduce wantonness among these couples and young men and women. I also wanted to talk about promoting communication. If these perceptions of partner wantonness aren't wholly accurate, I think improving communication of young couples could certainly improve that, the accuracy of this perception, and hopefully reduce wantonness. And ensure that parents express appropriate caution against adolescent pregnancy. It's the power of, the parental influence. And I just wanted to add, pregnancy wantonness isn't wholly a bad thing, right? So as we looked at in the consequences, if you wanted the pregnancy, that could influence your psychological health and your ability to parent if you wanted this pregnancy. So I also wanted to say among these unwanted pregnancies, we just need to be aware of the influence that it might have on a relationship or mental health and this parenting and child development. And I'll just end with acknowledgments. This was made possible by the partners and their funding. So thank you. Thank you. I was surprised. I've done some work looking at the intergenerational cycle of fatherhood and certainly of motherhood is in the literature. In that, if your mom is a teen mom and you're a daughter, the daughter of the mom, you're more likely to become a teen mom. And the same is true among men. So I was actually very surprised that it didn't emerge. And I tried to, play around with the variables a little bit. And nothing happened. So it may be just a function of the sample, but it also may be a function of the true relationship and the strength of the relationship between the perceived partner wantedness that might really be what's overshadowing these other variables. And so future analyses, I'm going to take that out and then add that, I think, at a final level so I can figure out what's going on underneath this perceived partner wantedness. Thanks for your comment. Yeah.
Thanks for the presentation. It was very interesting. I had a couple of comments just about the limitations. One was, I was thinking that you commented that there are teens who chose to carry it to term, but there are also teens who are still together and still have a romantic relationship.
That's true.
That's a whole other group.
That's true.
Really to the American population. And then also you were talking about the retrospective nature of the reporting. And I know the question didn't quite hone in on exactly when did they want the pregnancy.
Right.
And I know I've done some qualitative interviews with teen mothers, and there were some who were ambivalent all along, but there seems to be a very common pattern of shock, disbelief, terror for the first 2 weeks.
Right.
And then their parents come to terms with it, their partner comes to terms with it, and they decide to look on the bright side and, you know, view this child as a blessing and as something
right.
to be really positive. And so I think that, you know, that what point in time were they thinking, it's a very adaptive thing if you're going to have a child
right.
to be as positive as possible, but that doesn't necessarily mean they really wanted it.
That's true. Right. It was the best, I think, conceptualization and wording that we could kind of get at, but I think the prospective nature of measuring this wantedness is so important.
Right.
Yes.
That's kind of what I was thinking, like the importance of timing. Like,
yeah.
Like, do you think it would have made a difference had you provided the survey to these young people in their first trimester versus third?
That could be, right. So the third trimester is a ways into it, and it's true, they may have come to terms with it, and it may have been, you know, some ability to cope with the pregnancy. I've done a prospective study looking at pregnancy desire, and they were lower. The pregnancy desire was about 24% either wanted it or were unsure whether they wanted it, and that predicted pregnancy 18 months out. But I will say this sample is a little bit older. An older age reflected greater wantedness or desire, so that might be part of it. But certainly, it's about the timing of the question. So, appreciate that.
Thanks, Elsa. That was really interesting. One other comment about that correlation between partners' perceived
right.
wantedness and actual wantedness. I mean, it sort of makes you wonder, you know, what is the gold standard measure? I mean, is it your one question
right.
on the survey, or maybe the partner knows better, especially if the partner reported, you know, that, say, the woman perceived that her partner didn't want the pregnancy, but then the partner, you know, might have been social desirability bias to say that
right.
he did.
Right.
So you really may not be clear which is the actual truth.
Right, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
In the literature reviews and things that you did you find any literature that gave any evidence then what happened? You know, they perceived they wanted it, and all a year or two later, and they look back on it, was, you know what I'm saying, were they still glad that the pregnancy happened? I mean, was there anything in the literature review that showed that?
I haven't looked at that specifically. My sense is that their reflections of wantedness would be greater, but I can't say that for sure.
Yeah,
it's an interesting question. Yeah. Right.
After the birth, that the parents are more likely, you know, to say that they really wanted it because the child is already here.
Right.
But they're like 2 years later, and if they're young, I'm just wondering if.
Right.
What I guess I'm getting at is there anything that has studied teens that thought they wanted pregnancy, then they get, and right after
right.
that third trimester and right after birth, it really is just such a cool process that it gives itself to being wanted. But then, like a year or 2 years later,
right.
when they looked back and say, you know, I thought I wanted this, but now I'm not sure I did. I'm just curious.
Right, it may not be I think that's a great point. It may not be a function of wantedness. It may, the adolescents in that case may reflect a mistiming of it. I'm hesitant to say they change whether or not they reported that they wanted the child, but they may come to grips with it would have been easier had it been a couple years later. Just a thought. Any other questions?
All right, well, thank you all
Great.
For coming,
thank
and thanks to our presenters.
Thank you.